He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9. The voice of Connecticut.
I know we've had our fair share of rain lately, but it is still the middle of summer in Connecticut, so we've got our fair share of sunshine. Beware of sunscreen! Oh my lord, this seems to be one of the biggest topics of hysteria in America right now, especially if you go on social media. But here's the question, is any of it true? Are there some truths, maybe more fiction for all the facts and fiction around these claims? Of course, we're talking to Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health. Let's get it started, Dr. Brown. I know you, if anyone, would know if sunscreen is good, bad, or indifferent.
Absolutely.
Have you heard the hysteria? Or are you like, Melissa, where in the world are you getting this?
I've heard a little bit about it.
Okay, well, let me tell you, it's all over. Yes, it's blowing up everywhere. To the point that I have been told, do not put sunscreen on you. Do not put it on our kid. Do not. And I'm like, listen, I'm feeling mixed here because obviously we have melanoma in our family. I'm like, I don't really want, like, skin cancer is one of those you can prevent. So I'm a do it. But then it's like, hey, this is actually causing cancer. So you can understand the crossroads of America right now.
So it's actually really interesting. So, I mean, this is sort of the problem that we have, is that people, it gets a little bit too out of control, you know?
You're kidding.
I mean, you hear something, it's shocking, right? So what happens is people think, well, you're putting this onto your body, therefore it's going to absorb, and therefore you're going to have an issue with it. Because it's absorbed in the skin, and then someone comes to mind, what kind of chemicals are we putting on our skin that's now going to get absorbed and cause lots of problems? I will tell you that, yes, you always have to be careful about what you put in your body and on your skin, right? Because we talk about that all the time. You have to make sure that you're careful that you're not putting sort of these forever chemicals on your body. However, the reason why we even talk about sunscreen, the reason why we even use sunscreen is because it actually leads to, so by not using sunscreen, by allowing your body to burn, especially when you're young, allowing your body to burn, what happens is it actually changes your genetic code. That's what's happening. So our bodies actually, it's fascinating, kind of a different topic, but definitely fascinating the aspect that what happens is that when we get UV radiation, which we do when we go out in the sun, when we get UV radiation, it actually hits our sun. It does one good thing. So let's talk about the good thing first. It actually converts vitamin D. So we actually literally get vitamin D from the sun. Sunblock has nothing to do with that, but it converts a vitamin to make and that we use for our bones. The second thing that it does, which is the bad thing, is it actually does lead to a mutation in our genome. It causes genetic errors. So it actually is like getting a low level of radiation there. Mm. So you get those genetic errors, and then our body, thank God, our body actually corrects a lot of those. But if we get too many of those deletions, this happens all the time. We have these deletions and that happen in our body all the time. So we are consistently developing the possibility of developing skin cancer at all given time. And the longer we're in the sun, the percentage likelihood of getting a skin cancer goes up higher because your body can't keep up with all the mutations that are occurring with the sun. The sunscreen prevents that from happening or significantly lowers that. That's why we actually recommend sunscreen, because sunscreen will prevent you from getting cancer.
Okay, so I'm going to break down, and we're just going to go one by one, true, false, or that's complicated, okay? Because
sure.
These are probably the most common claims right now about sunscreen. First and foremost, the claims on, this is the biggest one, that it actually causes cancer, sunscreen causing cancer. True or false?
So that would be, again, you're asking a medical person, so I'm always going to. So let's do it this way. The likelihood that that's false is really high.
Okay,
that's
great.
Not the case. The reason is that, again, what you're doing with cancer, what you're doing with sunscreen is you are indeed preventing cancer. So it is proven that addition, spending X amount of time in front of the sun will lead to cancer.
Okay. So it does not increase your skin cancer risk. Let's even go with that.
It does not. Okay. No, it does not.
Another claim with this, disrupting your hormones enough to cause cancer.
So that also would be false. It depends on what you're actually using for your the sunscreen. The answer for that would also be negative.
I love how you say negative.
Negative. That would be not happening. So, that is very low likelihood, I would say, even to the point of false. However, interesting fun fact, because I know you like these, things like soy. If you eat a lot of soy, it can actually convert over, and it actually can be dangerous and mess with your hormones.
Mm.
So the answer
is
that.
Well, I think that's kind of the – so here's, and obviously, probably what's even more effective, we've got Dr. Brown here, our infectious disease expert, talking about the claims around sunscreen and if it actually increases your chances of getting skin cancer, which has become the hysteria. I'm telling you, Dr. Brown, it's everywhere on social media. It's everywhere. I think the big thing is you would still recommend people to use it, or is there a better solution that would bring down the people who are just nervous about things like, you know, carcinogens? And, you know, it was a few years ago that they found they had to have like voluntary recalls because some batches had benzene in them. But that's right. Not an ingredient that you would find usually in sunscreen. Right. I mean, so what would be a recommendation if people really are anti-sunscreen? Is there a better recommendation?
There is, but I don't think they're going to like it.
I want to hear it.
Stay out of the sun,
right?
You want 100 proof blocking, wear a hat, wide brim hat, and wear long sleeves
right?
and long pants.
Yeah.
You could argue the chemicals in that, but you're not putting a product on your skin. You're actually covering it. And honestly, what's come out now for both of those are pretty nice. I mean, they have some really light hats and they have some really light shirts, and that is probably the safest way. Stay out of the sun. You'll still get enough sunlight that you'll get your vitamin D, but you won't get a sunburn. Just so you know, this little another fun fact for me. I actually have a convertible.
So, of course you do.
I actually wear sunscreen every day, and I have been for years. And I'm very fair skinned, and of Irish heritage. So listen, I could tell you that, and I grew up in the 80s, so I could tell you that the amount of chemicals that were probably in the products that we used are so much worse than they are nowadays.
Fair. But I mean, I think if anything, Dr. Brown, I think one of the biggest points of this story is it's very easy, I think, to buy into the hysteria, especially when we get information at such a fast pace and so many sources claiming to have the facts. And I think that is one of the biggest concerns. And I don't know why, but the sunscreen one has stuck out to me in recent weeks. I've been meaning to talk to you about it. But I think it speaks to that truth of, you know, where are you getting your information? And if it really is a concern, don't have the buck stop at your social media site. I guess you'd consult your doctor if you're really concerned about it.
I mean, if you're really concerned, talk to your doctor. If you're fair skinned, you know, honestly, the most important thing is, if you're really that concerned about it, then, you know, not being out in the middle of the day in the sun is probably your best bet. I'll be completely honest. No matter what sunscreen you're using, if you're out, you know, 8 hours in the sun, you know, unless you're reapplying, I mean, it's not really that healthy for you.
There was a new push recently to protect people from intestinal illness, as dozens of people here in Connecticut and thousands more across the nation, I believe it's now been detected in 45 states, have gotten sick from the cyclospora outbreak. Senator Richard Blumenthal, among other lawmakers, demanding accountability from the CDC and the FDA. What he's calling confusion in their response to the outbreak. We've got our infectious disease expert, Dr. Fred Brown, here from Griffin Health. What do you think, Dr. Brown?
And I think this is something that there was definitely a chink in the armor. So I don't disagree with that there's been some monitoring that probably wasn't done or was cut and has led to this outbreak. I would be sort of my opinion on that. I mean, it is a as we mentioned last week, it is a common parasite, and it's not small. It's relatively easy to see. I mean, small in the world of microbes. It's relatively easy to see, easy to detect, and then put it out there. So you know, I am concerned that, you know, some of the things that we may have cut back in the government may have led to decreased monitoring.
So it has now spread to 45 states. And ultimately, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Brown, because I know you've been following this very closely as well. Did this all really link back to Taco Bell?
It did not. No.
It didn't. Okay. I didn't think so. But again,
like, no.
Let's talk about hysteria around social media. That's who's getting blamed for it.
It's actually funny because, I mean, Taco Bell, so I did a little research after our conversation last week, and Taco Bell apparently put out a notice saying that they're taking every precautions, that they're making sure that they're, you know, in particular lettuce is free of the organism, you know, and then they said, but we're not taking blame for it. But apparently, if there's explosive diarrhea, Taco Bell is taking blame. So let's just make sure it's not us.
Right.
So
yeah.
It does not look like it was specifically related to them. And it looks like it's a lot of contamination within a lot of different food sources.
But then I guess that's my question then. So how, and again, I'm fine with, like, hey, if we could stick blame somewhere and we could do better, because obviously this is not something I'd want or anybody would want. But then how do you drop a ball? Because to me, I think the bigger thing is have we become, and again, I don't like to victim blame by any means, but have we become too complacent with things like washing our produce before we eat it?
I'm afraid we probably have.
And I'm not even talking about the ones at home. Like, yes, there are people that I've said, you're kidding, right? You don't wash your apples before you eat them. You don't wash your broccoli before you eat it. I mean, or you don't boil your vegetables before you eat it. Like, I mean, yes, that could be things done at home. But are our food service, our establishments, are they not doing those things? I mean, that just seems like 101.
I wouldn't think so from, I mean, in all honesty, we have to look and see, because it's so many people that have actually been infected, that it's sort of a combination. There's always a concern whenever there's multiple people eating at any establishment. Just the way it is. I mean, and I don't think there's any, I personally have seen it. I do not think there's any chinks in the armor in Connecticut. I think Connecticut's very, very good at monitoring food establishments.
I think so too, especially because I believe, Dr. Brown, I don't have the data number on top of my head, but I believe Connecticut per capita has the most locally owned restaurants and bars in America per capita. So we I think it's something like 95% of our food services are locally owned places. So you're not talking about chain restaurants and stuff. Like,
no.
Connecticut should be pretty on top of it, and I think they are. I think that's where I kind of come back to, hey, I don't want to victim blame, but is this as simple as we have just kind of stopped doing the typical, like you and I have talked about, not washing our hands, good hygiene? Are we not doing the standard wash your produce?
Yeah, or are we? The answer is, I don't have an answer. The concern would be is that, you know, you can go get a container of salad mix, right, which has combined lettuce in it, and it says triple washed, you know, and we're just kind of trusting that. I mean, what if
I don't trust that. I don't even read those labels. I got to be honest. Yeah. Is that bad? I don't read it. I don't know.
I think that's where we have to be. We do need to be more vigilant, because, you know what, let's be honest here. I mean, the federal government monitoring was probably not going to be the same as it was in the past. And we do know that, you know, as a population, you know, we continue to get larger. We continue to ship things. We continue to have, you know, the possibility of microbes. I'm going to say microbes happens to be cyclospora, but microbes that can contaminate our food sources. That's just the way kind of nature works. So we just need to be hypervigilant in that aspect. And I think that's something that's really important. And that's sort of the day and age we live in now. I would have, you know, if we talked about this in January and you said, yeah, this summer there's going to be a cyclospora outbreak, I would be like, no way.
Really?
So, yeah, there's like, it's just not something that I would have put on the radar. It's not something that, I mean, if you said an E. coli or a salmonella, then sure. But cyclospora is that's pretty unusual. It's not something that, you know, we see occasional cases, but we've not seen a outbreak like this from this organism. Again, I'd have to check my facts on that, but I don't know if we've ever seen it.
But I guess the thing that I'm confused about, and not to get political, we have Dr. Brown here of Griffin Health. The thing I guess that I'm confused about, Dr. Brown, is, okay, so staffing cuts, and it's interesting because we were having this conversation actually earlier this week with the National Weather Service and the staffing cuts they've seen, and has that had an impact on some of the alerts and warnings that they've been delayed getting out there ahead of some of the rain events we've had, just the wild weather we've had in July. But I guess my question is whether or not we have staffing cuts for the CDC and the FDA, why would that lead to a cyclospora outbreak? Again, I think if we're talking about just going through the motions of taking care of produce properly, wouldn't that, I guess I'm confused the correlation.
Yeah. So again, and not necessarily, I'm not an expert in this, but I'll give you sort of my opinion in this. So cutting, when you think about what you're cutting for non-essentials, you're going to look at things that aren't, that haven't occurred. So if you're looking at the CDC, let's say, you're not going to be, okay, we're going to have a cyclospora outbreak. It's not something that we've actually seen pretty much ever. So you're going to say, okay, well, you know what, we probably don't need that. So if you're not sort of medically inclined and understanding and sort of work within that framework, you basically can say, I don't need that anymore, and you sort of cut that group or that area that's monitoring it. The other thing is that, you know, if you start cutting FDA, and it does look like, so I was actually during our break, I was looking a little bit at where they think this is coming from now, and they think this may be imported. So imported lettuce, and you know, on a truck for an extended period of time, you know, from a place that, you know, maybe there wasn't enough monitoring from in that location, coming abroad. So yeah, there's definitely, I mean, these cuts can lead to different issues. And as I said, we've seen this with the, you know, not only the cuts, but we've also seen making medical decisions from a federal standpoint after years of sort of using the evidence and now not giving a measles vaccine. We're seeing the largest measles outbreak in I wouldn't say in U.S. history, but I mean in modern history, at least after the last, you know, 30 years.
I see. Yeah, I do find it surprising, you know, that we haven't seen a cyclospora outbreak, though, because to your point earlier, you had mentioned, you know, if you told me in January we'd have an E. coli outbreak or things like that, you would buy it. But the idea of a cyclospora outbreak just sounded, you know, out of left field. But it's interesting, right? Because they're not the same, obviously, but they are similar in nature. And so yes. I do find it fascinating that we haven't really had any cyclospora outbreaks, regardless of staffing cuts, you know, protocols in place, things like that.
Well, the interesting thing is that with cyclospora versus like an organism which causes really severe diarrhea called Shigella,
yep,
you only need a couple organisms to get really sick from it. E. coli, you need a bigger load of bacteria. I know this is gross, but you need a bigger load of bacteria to get it.
I was shocked when you said that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Same with
salmonella. You have to have a lot of salmonella. So they've done studies with salmonella where you can go, you know, they do like a glow germ. So it actually, they can mark the bacteria, or at least mark your hands and show where you are. So they can go, there's these great YouTube videos that you can watch online that'll show what happens when someone preps like chicken. You know, they prep chickens and they think they're washing their hands and the entire kitchen is covered with glow germ. You know, so if it had salmonella, that means all those areas have been contaminated. Usually adults don't get sick from salmonella from that standpoint, but children do, because they don't need as much of a load. That's the same thing with cyclospora. So cyclospora, you need to have a certain level of the parasite to be present to get sick from. So your body will be able to fight off one or two of them. But your body won't, unless you're immunocompromised. But your body won't be able to fight off a larger amount of it. I know, which is also really gross, because you think about eating a lot of parasite. But that's really the story. That's what happens. So we're not talking about one or two organisms. We're talking about a loading dose of cyclospora that's getting people sick.
So I guess to reiterate, Dr. Brown, which I know you've talked about the last two Thursdays, honestly, you've been on the show, what can people do to better protect themselves from this illness?
Yeah, I think it's all about, you know, making sure that this is your food source, that you make sure that your hands are clean, and yet your food is clean. And I don't think it needs to be a crazy amount of cleaning. I know there's there's that on social media too, that it's, you know, 5 minutes of, you know, boiling what, you know, it is simple. These are large organisms. So making sure that you are washing them and getting that organism off of the lettuce, which is probably the biggest culprit here, making sure you're washing that and being careful and knowing your sources. And if it looks wet, if it looks old, if it looks bad, don't eat it. It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
So we got to make sure that everything is clean in that aspect. There's no magic medication or antiseptic that you're going to be able to put into your lettuce that's going to make it better. So I would actually not do that. I would throw a shout out for, you know, farm markets, you know, go in there. It's usually nice fresh lettuce. You can pick it out, you can wash it off, and you're good to go.
Yeah, definitely. Dr. Brown, always appreciate you. Thank you so much. I guess we'll see if we go into week three or four of Cyclospora next week, but in the meantime, appreciate you.
Absolutely.
All right. Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health right here on WICC. We're going to be right back.